Let's pray.
When all around my soul gives way, He
time, we do not have a children's sermon, but there is children's church for the children to go meet with Miss Dawn. So if anyone would like to, Miss Dawn's going to take you guys back and preach to you in the back. I do want to thank the choir. I thought they did very well. I think this thing sounds pretty good up here, down there where you guys are, and I appreciate their work and having to stand up. I thought we had a singing Christmas tree here. Ricky had this thing built years ago, so we used it. And I want to thank the guys that came and worked on the cemetery yesterday. They did a lot of work, and it looks good up there. I hope you all will get a chance to go up there. That's one of the things we're here for today. But right now, I just want to share a few words from the Word of God and to think about this idea of having faith in God. David was a little two-year-old boy that had leukemia, and he was taken by his mother to Massachusetts General Hospital up in Boston to see Dr. John Truman, who specialized in treating children for cancer and various blood diseases. And when Dr. Truman had examined David, the prognosis was not very good. He had about a 50-50 chance. They begin, as some of you have experienced or had heard about and seen, countless clinic visits and blood tests and intravenous drugs and the fear and the pain. And to be honest, his mother, Deborah, writes about this, and she said that it was so hard. And it's hard, I think it's as hard on the parents to see your child, a two-year-old, suffer like little David had to suffer, and you want to go through it for them, and you can't. And it was a terrible, terrible time. But little David never cried. Little David would come to the hospital. He was always excited about going to the hospital. He never cried in the waiting room. And when it was time for him to go back and get his treatments, man, he just chugged on in there because he loved the people at the hospital. He loved the nurses, but particularly he loved Dr. John Truman. He loved him. And when he turned three, he had to have a spinal tap. And that's painful at any age, but for a three-year-old, it's a tough, tough thing. And it was explained to him, his mother explained to him, that because he was sick, Dr. Truman had to do something to make him better. And his mother said, if it hurts, remember it's because Dr. Truman loves you and he wants you to get better. It was horrendous. It took three nurses to hold little David down, and he cried and he struggled and it hurt. And when it was almost over, little David looked up and he soaked and he sweat and tears and cried. And he looked up at Dr. Truman and he said, "Thank you, Dr. Truman, for my hurting." And I thought about that. Little David, there wasn't an insincere thing with him. He was sincerely thankful to Dr. Truman for his hurting because he had faith in Dr. Truman as a doctor. And not only this, he had faith that Dr. Truman loved him. He knew that Dr. Truman loved him, and that Dr. Truman would not do anything to hurt him unless it was for his good. And I think that's kind of the way faith in God should be. Too many times when things don't go the way we think they should go, and the hurting just threatens to overwhelm us. We tend to want to just get mad at God about it, and when we need to look at it, up at Him and say, "Thank you, God, for my hurting. Because, God, I know You love me, and I know nothing that happens is not for my good. Thank you, God." Jesus told us, and this is my verse. If you need to look it up, you can, but it's real short. Mark 11:22. We sang it earlier. Have faith in God. I think having faith in God is the greatest need of every soul. I think faith in God can handle any situation. Faith in God can handle any problem. Faith in God can handle any challenge. I think so many other things that we have in this world will fail. But faith will not. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us love never fails. And that's what you can put your faith in. Because God and His love will never fail. But I'll be honest with you guys, and I feel like if you were honest too, so many times we do not place our faith in God. I think even as Christians, most of the time we place our faith in other things. And I wanted to talk this morning about that because it's very important that we understand that as Christians, our faith needs to always be primarily in God. What do we place our faith in more than God? I think one of the main things, and kids, you can write this down, the first thing to write down there is money. Jesus said in Matthew 6:19-20, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Moth and rust will destroy your treasures there, and thieves will break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. I believe there are two big reasons why we should not place our faith in our money. One is you will not always have money. Now, many of you, I know everybody in here is very rich. I can tell that by the offering, but I'm kind of laughing there. Look, we may have a lot of money. You may have a lot of money. And I'm not saying you won't always have a lot of money. Some people have a lot of money till the day they die. But you won't have it after that. You won't have any use for money where you're going to heaven, Christian. You certainly won't have any use for money if you're not saved and you're going to hell, because that's the two choices you have, heaven or hell. And in heaven you won't need money, in hell you're not going to need it either. So you won't always have money. So if you put your faith in money, it's just kind of a lost thing. The other thing is, even if you have all the money of the world, it cannot do what God does. It cannot save your soul. It cannot heal you. It cannot bring joy into your life. I read this thing about how in 1928, a group of the world's most successful rich men met at the Edgewater Beach Hotel in Chicago. And here's who was present. The president of the largest utility company, the greatest wheat speculator, the president of the New York Stock Exchange, a member of the president's cabinet, the greatest bear in Wall Street, the president of the Bank of International Settlements, the head of the world's largest monopoly. They controlled collectively more money than was in the treasury of the United States of America. I will tell you this, though, if you've got $10, you got more than the United States Treasurer has now because we're in debt so much. But at that time, they couldn't be in debt. So these men controlled more money than the whole Treasury of the United States. For years, and these magazines that they put out for children, encouraging them to be successful, these were the men that they said, all right, kids, you need to grow up and you need to be like these men. These men are successful men. They came from poor beginnings, and look at them. They are so successful, and they did this for years. This was what happened. Well, 25 years later, flash forward, we see that their money did not do them a lot of good. Here's where they were. The president of the largest independent steel company, Charles Schwab, he lived on borrowed money and the last 5 years of his life and died in debt. The greatest wheat speculator, Arthur Cutton, he went broke and moved overseas and died broke there. The president of the United States Stock Exchange, Richard Whitney, he served time in Sing Sing prison, and he didn't have any money left. The member of the president's cabinet, Albert Fall, was pardoned from prison so he could come home and die. The greatest bear on Wall Street, Jesse Livermore, committed suicide. The president of the Bank of International Settlements, Leon Frazier, committed suicide. The head of the world's greatest monopoly, Ivar Druger, committed suicide. Look, do not put your faith in your money. These guys did. That's what they meant to do, to discover how they could make more money, and it didn't matter. And because that's what they had their faith in, their lives ended miserably. Another thing we place our faith in instead of God is the government. The Bible says in Psalm 27, some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. Now that's talking about putting your faith in the military or the government. Some people do trust in the military. We've got the greatest military the world has ever known right here in our country. You know, some people trust in candidates. Some people trust in welfare and the government, assistance. You know, I found this, and I'm old, and I've seen this, and some of y'all can amen this. Have you ever seen a candidate for office, a presidential candidate, a senatorial candidate, a governor candidate, whoever, any candidate? How many of y'all have ever heard a candidate make a campaign promise and they broke it? Okay, I know some of y'all are lying, because if you know anything about that, they do. In fact, you know, there are only two presidents in the United States that did what they promised. One of them was Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson, man, great president in many ways, but he made this campaign promise, and because he made this promise, even though he found out it was not going to be a good idea, he did it anyway. He promised to close down the Federal Reserve Bank. When he got into office, he did that. He took all of the money of the United States of America out of the Federal Reserve Bank, closed down the Federal Reserve Bank, put it in private banks, and within 3 years, the private banks, about half of them had gone bankrupt, and all about half the money of the United States of America went with them. Wasn't a good idea. But he had made that promise, so he kept it. The other president that kept his promise was Barack Obama with Obamacare. We kind of still out on that one. But look, everyone else in most cases forgot their promises when they were elected. And the fact is, it was probably a good idea. But we know this. Backroom politics and political deals are the way things are done. You cannot put your faith in the government. The government will not always be here. God will be. Sometimes people want to put the faith in themselves. That's extremely stupid, you know. One little illness and you're out of work and flat on your back. One little kid, you're driving down the road, one little text on that phone, and you're paralyzed while you're driving. You're not God, but you want to be. You know, we all want to be God. Increasing numbers of people are putting their faith in themselves rather than God. And, you know, we hear all these statistics about not as many people coming to church. Well, that's because so many people are putting their faith in themselves. I read this thing about a woman named Sheila. Not our Sheila, I don't think. But she was interviewed for this magazine, and she said this. She said, "I believe in God. I can't remember the last time I went to church, but my faith has carried me a long way. It's called Sheilaism. Just my own little voice from God." Have you ever heard anything so silly? But you know, I ask people to do things in church sometimes, and they'll say, you know, "Okay, let me pray." And they'll hear a little voice that says, you know, "I don't want to do that because I don't want to fool with it," you know. And obviously we do need to pray about things, but sometimes we make our decisions selfishly. And the same holds true when you place your faith in other people. Life happens. Life happens. Other people have their lives. You have your life. Your kids grow up and you base your life on your kids, and they grow up and they get married and they go off. Your daddy dies. Your wife gets Alzheimer's. Life happens. It's extremely foolish to place your faith in other people. And sadly, some people place their faith in their religion. I'm not talking about their Savior. There's a difference between religion and Savior. There are all kinds of religions in the world. Religion can bring a sort of fake peace and contentment, but it will in reality bring discontent and hatred for those who do not agree with your religion. A guy named David Price Jones that lived in England, and he decided he had some guests from India that was staying with him, and he said, "I'm going to take my guests over." There was a real beautiful cathedral in his hometown of Hereford, and he said, "I'm going to go and I'm going to take them over to visit the cathedral." And they went, and it is a beautiful cathedral. But while they were going through this cathedral, they stumbled upon this chapel, and in the chapel, the vicar, that's what they call preachers in England, the vicar was having a service. And so the vicar kind of ate them out and told them, said, "We're in the middle of a service here," or "I'm in the middle of a service here. You're going to have to, you know, go on out, you know." And so they left, and David Price Jones said the sad thing was there was no one there except the vicar. The vicar was having the service. There was no one there. He was up there preaching. Nobody was there. Now, I'm going to tell you guys this. If I come up here one Sunday and nobody shows up, I'm going home. You know, I'm not going to stand up here and preach the whole service to nobody. That's why you have kids, Bradley. You bring them, make them listen to you if nobody else shows up. Don't get started too early, though. But the thing is, you know, that's a sad thing. Here it is. It's emptiness and anger because the vicar got mad at them for interrupting his sermon. I guess he was preaching to himself. Look, have faith in God instead. You can have faith in God. Now, I read you a verse, Psalm 27, a while ago. I want to go on and read verse 8, too. "Some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God." Listen, "They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stood upright." People who place their faith in anything other than God will end up bowing down to worship that stuff and falling flat on their face. But if we place our faith in God, we will rise and stand upright. And of course, prophet Jeremiah in verse Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24 says, "Thus says the Lord," God speaking here, "Let not a wise man boast of his freedom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord." So, how can we go about living lives of faith? Well, to be honest with you, you can't. You can't do it. You cannot live a life of faith. You must depend upon Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Jesus Christ died because we were on the road to hell and because of our sin. You want to know why so many people are not turning to God? Is because they no longer know about sin. In our society, everything's okay. Everything's okay. You can't call anything a sin because it's politically incorrect anymore. And so the people don't know about sin. If you don't know you're a sinner, why would you even want to turn to God? But Jesus Christ knew about sin because he came and he died on this cross to pay for your sins. And he suffered on the cross for your sins. And if you're willing to turn from your sins to him in faith and in belief, and he'll give you what you need, then at that point, you come to him, you're saved, and you begin a walk with him, and it can be a walk of faith. You don't have to put your faith in all the things of this world. You can put your faith in Jesus and you can walk with him and you can be a successful, faithful person. So I encourage you, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, today, this time, right here and right now in this place. And I know many of you came here and you thought, why are they meeting in the gym? Well, we kind of got surprised by that ourselves, but here's the deal. You know, it doesn't matter where you are. I understand this church started out here on this hill with a brush arbor where they had a revival and people began to get saved out here. They weren't worried about the building at that time. They were worried about preaching the word. Folks, listen to me. Jesus Christ is what you need. You can be a man or a woman of faith because of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary. Have faith in God. Christian, if you've gotten away from that and you've been putting your faith in yourself and in the government and your money and your stuff and you're this and you're that and your family and this and all that, look, realize that everything in this world is extremely temporary. But your walk with Jesus is eternal. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. George Mueller was a great man of faith. I wish I could tell you a lot of George Mueller stories, but I'm not going to because we're hungry. But I will tell you this. Let me just give you one little thing he said about faith. He says, "Faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends." I cannot tell you how a man of God named Jesus could die on the cross and bring you salvation. How'd that happen? How can you explain? There's no way. But I have faith that he did. And if you need him, you can have faith and he will meet your needs and meet you where you are. Have faith in God. Would you bow your heads? Father, we turn this time of invitation over to you. We thank you that because of you, we can have faith in God. And Lord, I pray that if there may be someone that does not know you as their Savior, that today they would turn from their sins and turn to you, Lord, because they don't know. We don't know that we have tomorrow. We don't know. We don't know that we have the next 10 minutes. We don't need to delay coming to you, Lord. I pray.